and welcome. This is the Nicholas Natale Show. I am your host, Nicholas Natale. Today, talking about budgeting. So on my Instagram this week, at Nicholas Natale, a little self-plug there, I asked if you guys wanted the full money 101 path or my top getting out of debt strategies. And you voted for the full money 101 path, which I foolishly thought I could cover in a single episode. I mean, maybe I could have, but it would have just been a little too brief. It would have just been a little overview. And that's not how we do things here. We give practical, applicable information that changes lives on this podcast. Baby, don't come at me with that mess. let's start with budgeting. That's step zero, or maybe step one. I guess that would be step one. Budgeting. You're going to set a budget and try to reduce your expenses and set some realistic goals. Step number one. So what is budgeting? Setting the foundation to where your money is going. Budgeting allows you to see the sources of income that you have, the money coming in, and the expenses you have, money going out. So in simple terms, a budget, you know, you pretty much see it as income minus expenses. That's what budgeting is. And really, you know, the live below your means thing, that starts with budgeting, figuring out where that money's going, what money is coming in. So why budgeting? Why should you budget? So you could view dollars as team members. I've heard the analogy that some people say, view them as employees or workers. Forget it. View them as team members. And all these little team members you bring in, you want them to have a role on the team. And they want to play their part. You know, there shouldn't be a single dollar that you bring in that doesn't have a role or a purpose. There shouldn't be a single dollar that you don't know where it's going. Why? Because you're wasting your team members' potential. Your team members want to work for you. And they can't if you don't give them a purpose. So that's why you budget. I am a big proponent of, I think they call it budgeting to zero, which means you spend everything that you bring in. Not sure if you're hearing that fighter jet flying over me right now. I'll just let it pass. Hot dog is the longest flight of my life. Anyway. Big fan of budgeting to zero, and that means every dollar is spent. And by spent, that could be saved. I know that sounds a little counterintuitive, but let's say you had a category in your budget that you spent. You had a category in your budget called savings, and you spent that money into your savings account. It's kind of what it means. Basically, it just means every dollar you make has a purpose. It's going somewhere for some reason. You're spending it with diligence. So that bodes the question, how is budgeting? You know, how do you actually budget? And that's a great question. So first, you got to figure out what your monthly net income is. Gross is before taxes. That's your gross income. And net is after taxes. You know, there's calculators online that could probably help you calculate it. Or you could snag your latest pay stub and see what amount, you know, actually went into your pocket. You know, if you're not a W-2 kind of person, I would definitely recommend using an online calculator, and I can put one in the show notes if you need one. So budgeting. First, I recommend this, not pro for everybody, but first thing you would do with your money is you're going to want to give 10% of your monthly take home to something, you know, be it charity, be it church, you want to give. But really, where many people would say to start is you want to start by paying your rent and mortgage, you know, housing where you live. Then you're going to move on to buying food or groceries. From there, you pay for essential items such as water, heat, power, some toiletries, perhaps. That's essential. And then you're going to pay for income earning expenses. And this includes transportation expenses like gold, like gas, not glass, like gas or bus passes, subway pass. I'd throw internet in there, honestly. You know, all the things required to continue to earn the income that you have. If you're over 26 and not on your parents' health insurance, you're going to probably want to pay for healthcare. From there, at the very least, you're going to want to hit the minimum payment for all of your debts, student loans, credit cards, whatever it may be, at a minimum. From there, you're going to want to, you know, during all this, you're going to want to save for a little baby emergency fund. You know, many recommend $1,000 or 1 month's worth of expenses, whichever is greater. I would say my personal hot take is you should save $2,000 minimum or 1 month's worth of expenses, whichever is greater. You can save this in a checking account or a savings account. Doesn't matter. This is liquid emergency fund money. When I say liquid, that just means boom, ready for action. Like an athlete drinking liquid. You know, the purpose is to have cash or a cash equivalent to pay bills whenever necessary, or maybe you find yourself in a medical emergency. Did you know, this is a little tidbit here, most Americans can't afford a $500 emergency. So save an emergency fund for sure. And then after that, after you've saved a little bit and you've covered those essentials we talked about, you can start spending on non-essential bills, cable, you know, phone. I may put phone in the helps you earn an income, but Netflix and Spotify would be on a non-essential bill. So essentially, that's a brief overview of the priority when it comes to creating your budget. You allocate money toward essential items, then go a step down to the next priority, throw some money at it, then the next, pretty much trickling down what's most important to least important. We're not talking about debt yet. That would be the priority list, kind of top to bottom. And then you may be asking yourself, okay, you know, I got it. I have a budget. How do I know if I'm paying too much in any given area? And there, I will share some percentage with you. And I have my take that I will give on percentages, but it's good to have a perspective from multiple inputs. So I will be sharing some of those as well. Here's Papa Dave. Here's Dave Ramsey. This is what he recommends as far as percentages. Giving 10%, saving 10%, food 10 to 15%, utilities 5 to 10%. Another freaking fighter plane. What is going on? Hot dog. What is a man to do when he's trying to record a podcast in his car? Utilities 5 to 10%, housing 25%, transportation 10%, health 5 to 10%, insurance 10 to 25%, recreation 5 to 10%, personal spending 5 to 10%, and miscellaneous 5 to 10%. He's got a lot to give there. You know, he's got some range there. I don't think that's the worst way to go about it. I'm not giving my hot takes yet. Luke McGrath talked about this in the last episode, the 80-10-10 model. You give 10, you save 10, and you use 80% for all of the other stuff. There is the 50-30-20 budget, which is 50% of your monthly income goes towards your needs, like your housing costs, your groceries, utilities, healthcare, and transportation. 20% of your monthly income goes to saving and debt, you know, from student loans to credit cards to emergency funds. And then 30% goes to discretionary spending or wants, you know, restaurants, vacations, gadgets, all sort of that stuff. There's the 40-30-30 that I found on the subreddit Personal Finance, Our Personal Finance. 40% to needs, 30% to savings, which they view as retirement, long-term, short-term, saving for a down payment, auto repairs, all that stuff, and 30% to wants, cable, eating out, booze, other entertainment type stuff. Man, I really went hard on all these percentages. And then there's I guess, a consensus among blogs, you know, the wellkeptwallet.com and The Balance both say give 10 to 15, medical 5 to 10, housing 25 to 35, transportation 10 to 15, saving 10 to 15, food 10 to 15, utilities 5 to 10, insurance 10 to 20, recreation 5 to 10, clothing 10, 2 to 5, and personal 5 to 10. And I don't know who would need to use 2 to 5% of their monthly income every month toward clothes, but what do I know? I'm no fashionista. And then, once again, another blog, GoBankingRates.com, has almost identical, except for they said guaranteed 5% on clothing. And then also they said 10% for debt. And that was the only difference between those blogs. And I would have to hard disagree with that one, mainly because they're only contributing 10% of their income toward debt. But we're not talking about debt yet, all right? I get it. We're eager to get out of debt. I like the enthusiasm. We'll get there. My little sugar daddies and sugar mamas felt a little weird coming out of my mouth, but kind of liked it. After I just blazed through all those percentages, what are the percentages that I recommend, you know? That's the soup you're trying to get from the kitchen. And you're going to hate this answer, but it kind of depends. It does. Seriously, you can't give a blanket percentage to anybody because everybody's circumstance is a little different. Granted, there are specific scenarios that we all kind of face, and I could probably give some percentages on that, and I will try my best to right now. So I am on Team Fire, you know, financial independence and retire early. So I am all about keeping as much of the money you earn as you can and putting it into wealth-building assets. I'm an extremist, and I've owned that since day one. So this is a little of a maniac's recipe for budgeting success. And I guess you could say for most people pursuing FIRE, all that really means is really keep those expenses low and really try to hold on to as much money as you can. And usually try to make as much as you can. But here's what I would say. Minimize as many expenses as you can. And this means housing. So if you're able to live with 1,000 people, live with 1,000,000 people. Cut the expenses to dirt. Live with as many people as you can. Subscription expenses, you better be sharing that account or not having it at all. Car payment, you better sell that whip and get one you can afford, one that doesn't have a car payment. Transportation expenses, try and live close to your work. Bike to work. That's all besides the point. We're going to talk about more on cutting expenses later. I'll probably do an entire episode on cutting expenses and getting out of debt. But let's say you're out of debt. You know, you have a 6-month emergency fund saved up and your work or your parents cover that healthcare. So this is what my percentages would look like. Something like this. First thing, giving 10%. You give 10% to an organization. I give 10% to my church. If you don't believe in the big man upstairs, this may look like giving to a charity you trust. The next, I would say blessing others. You have 5%. Where you dedicate to giving to the people in your life. And that doesn't mean you're just directly handing cash to your friends. I mean, it could sometimes, but blessing them by buying them a meal or maybe a congratulations gift, or maybe you just show love through gifts. It is good to give often. So 5% to blessing others. Retirement, 15%. Housing, 25%. I would say 30% max. If you did the dirty work to get where you are, you know, you're out of debt, you saved your emergency fund, all that good stuff, hit them with a 30, you know. But however, in a dream world, this would be closer to 15 to 20%. But we'll stick with 25% for the sake of this. Investing, throw 25% down. Transportation, 3%. Food, 5%. Phone and internet, 4%. Health, 3%. Health to me looks like a gym membership and maybe some supplements. And then recreational, 4%. Recreational can be anything. Anything you want. Snacks and water. Delicious. I'm a thirsty boy. 4%. Yeah, that's entertainment. You want to eat out with your friends? You got 4% to do it. You want to bungee jump or something? You could even save that recreational money if you wanted to spend it for something super recreational, like skydiving or something. Who am I to say? So if you really boiled down my numbers, it would kind of be 15, 40, 25, 20. 15% giving, 40% investing in retirement, 25% housing, 20% everything else. And in my eyes, this is a healthy balance. You know, you're not losing the value of life, but you're also preparing yourself to retire early and not be dependent on work. You know, there's people out there that have this down to a science, like these FIRE people. They're finding a co-living space, they ball out with high-earning jobs, and they don't spend. You know, they don't spend and they retire after a handful of years of sacrifice. And I think you may see that as we start talking about debt, that it comes with a lot of sacrifice. So, however, if you're in debt, this is what I would change these percentages to. We're not talking about debt yet. I'm not going to tell you the strategies, but these are some percentages. I would say, you know, you're giving, still give 10%, even if you're in debt. You should always be a giver. There's always a reason to be generous, and you never want to train yourself out of being generous, because I do think giving is somewhat habitual, you know, so always be used to giving 10% of what you have. And then I would put 75% towards your debt, and then put 15% toward everything else. as I've already stated a handful of times, anything worth achieving is going to take sacrifice. Peak performers in this world are comfortable saying no, looking different or foolish. They get things done. You know, there's going to be a time where you go out to eat with your friends and you don't order anything if you're in debt. There's going to be times where you say, I'm not going to get this anymore at the grocery store. You hand over that extra cucumber that you really wanted. Say, put this back on the shelves, my little cucumber man. And there's going to be times you're going to say, no, I'm not going to be able to make it because you don't have the funds for it. You know, and to pay off your debt, you will need to sacrifice and to get financially free in general. It's going to take some sacrifice, even like saving up that emergency fund. That's all part of it. That's all part of it. We're all working toward becoming financially free because once you have that freedom, boom, see, you got in the word, you're free. And you don't have to make as many of these sacrifices. And by that time, hopefully there'll be behaviors and it won't feel like a sacrifice really. And you won't be trading off, you know, that you're losing out on life. You have much more flexibility is what I'm trying to say. So even if these percentages, you're like, whoa, that doesn't work for me. If you are out of debt, you can really switch those percentages quite a bit, but it also kind of depends on your goals. So budgeting, it's really a means to meet your financial goals. Are you a retire early kind of person? How much money do you want to have when you're 30, 40, 50, 60, 70? Budgeting just makes sure you get to those numbers. All right, so where do I start? I just threw a fire hose of information at you. And how do I know if I'm on track with my finances each month? You know, visually, how do I see this in action, baby? And you have a few options. Now we're kind of getting to the behavior side of tracking your budget. When I first started budgeting, I got a pocket notebook and I wrote down every transaction that I made. I would keep it in my pocket. And I would also keep a pencil and pen on me. If I went to Starbucks and I got a coffee, I'd sit down at a table, I'd pull out my notebook, I'd write the date, what I spent, like the amount, where I spent it at, Starbucks, and how I spent it, cash, card, what have you, whatever I used to spend it, Bitcoin. Never purchased with Bitcoin in my life. But with any goal, when you hyper-track like that, you'll see improvements because you're constantly, you know, you're constantly tracking. And this is what I bought. This is what I spent. This is where I was. And the cool thing after you continue to do it, is you'll see patterns in your spending. You'll see when you spend. You see when you're most likely to spend. And you can kind of reevaluate, okay, maybe I can't drive this way home because every time I do, I spend $30 at Mickey D's. Just attracted to those McFlurries they have. Oh, baby. Oreo, Snickers, so many good options. So since then, I switched over to entering my transactions daily into a Google Sheet. And you'll kind of see that tracking your transactions is good because it becomes a habit. It becomes part of your day. You know, you have it on the top of your noggin. So in this sheet, I have an outline on the side of all my transactions, of all the categories, and the money allocated for each category. So each time I enter a transaction, I subtract it from what it was allocated to, and then I can see it on the side. It tells me. I got the little formula all planned out. Now, this may sound tedious to you, and you might immediately have said, I don't do spreadsheets, man. I'm not an accountant. Well, I'm not an accountant either. So it looks like we got two people that aren't accountants. If you want to pursue another path, even though this is a habit for me, and this is kind of why I continue to do the spreadsheet, is, I should say that too. Going in and tracking your spending every day, it helps keep your finances on your noggin and ensures that you're not overspending because you're constantly seeing how much money you have remaining rather than guessing and just keeping on going. So if you're not about that spreadsheet life, I don't blame you, but there are other options as well. There's apps, you know, there's apps that do exactly what I'm doing, if not more, and if not prettier, and if not easier. I used to use Mint.com, and Luke McGrath mentioned that in the previous episode, and they also have a mobile app, and it's free, and I liked it a lot. It's super intuitive. They make it really easy for you to track your net worth because you can enter all of your assets and just see them in one place, which is not always easy to have, if I'm being honest. You know, your retirement account is usually somewhere in the boonies, and your checking account is usually not anywhere near your retirement account, and your investments are blah, blah, blah. So this is nice because it gives you all that. I stopped using Mint because Intuit owns it, and they also own TurboTax, and I just got the heebie-jeebies. I thought they were selling my information, and I can't prove that. I'm not making any allegations here. Too many allegations. I have no proof to back that up. I just got a weird sense, and I didn't like the idea. I mean, the big trio is already doing plenty of it. Amazon, Facebook, Google, I'm looking at you. Stop selling my data. And I also can't prove that the banks aren't selling my data, but I have a hankering they're probably doing it too. Anyway, besides the point, it's a good option for simple budgeting. It is. As long as you're not worried about stuff like that. But really, it's super intuitive. Dave Ramsey has an app called Every Dollar. Costs money, though. I've never used it. I imagine it's probably simple to use, and it does everything that Mint does. Personally, I don't think you should pay for a budgeting app starting out. I don't. If you're starting out in the budgeting world, find something free. You don't need another expense. You're trying to get things going. You're not trying to add expenses here. I mean, maybe down the road it'd be worth it, but I have never paid for a single budgeting app. Let me just say that right there. You Need a Budget is a budgeting app. Costs money. I think it's $7 and you're billed annually $84, but it's an option. Personal Capital is a budgeting app. That one might be free. I'm not sure. Albert is a budgeting app. Clarity Money is a budgeting app. And I'll consider doing a full review on each of these sometime, you know, but I'll link them in the show notes below so you can check them out. However, I will repeat that there are free apps out there that do everything that all of these other budgeting apps would do. They're pretty much similar. But the reason I list all of them, or many of them, is because you're going to end up finding that you have a personal style that you prefer. You know, one of these apps may be a little more intuitive to you, or it may just help you track things that you are more inclined to track. Like this Personal Capital one, I'm fairly certain it's more toward people that have investments in addition to just their checking and savings account. So it'll track on the daily what you're working with. Mint does that too, but I guess their dashboard is more tailored to it. In conclusion, though, I would like to say budgeting is critical. Absolutely crucial if you want to meet a financial goal. How are you going to meet a goal if you don't track it? And I think another thing to be said is if you have a goal, behind every goal is a good system. That is the only way goals are met. You know, the goal is the outcome, right? I want to have $100,000 in my bank account by the end of the year. And the system is what gets you there. So your system, or the habits or the behaviors you create, are figuring out how you budget. And that's why it is important. And also, if you're getting money, you really should see them as team members. And the worker, the employee metaphor kind of works here. You should see them as something that is beneficial to you. And I'm not saying I'm just saying don't waste an opportunity. If you have the opportunity of money coming in, make sure you know where each dollar is going, you know, because this is your life, right? I don't got to tell you that. It is. And where you put your money will help you navigate to the place you end up wanting to be. If you want to be a homeowner someday, you're going to have to budget. You're going to have to save. You're going to have to know how much you want, right? Clear-cut goals. That always helps. Anywho, I hope this was helpful. Let me know if you have any budgeting questions. You can reach me at Nicholas Natale on all the social medias. I'm the most active on Instagram if you wanted to DM me a question. Definitely not opposed to it. Next episode, we are going to be covering debt, how to get out of it, and strategies you can employ to change up your budget and change those percentages to be the most effective toward paying it off quickly. I am a huge fan of not having debt. I'm a huge fan of freedom, and I think anything that anybody tells you otherwise that debt is good and there's good debt, unless you're starting a business or you're buying a house that you put 20% down on or more, you're going to have a tough time convincing me otherwise. Anyway, budgeting. Do it. All of the resources in the show notes. Subscribe, comment, follow, 5-star reviews, merch at nicholasitali.com. Love you, grateful for you, and I will see you next week, Friday, 6 a.m. Goodbye.